I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Welcome, one and all, to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and we're back with another episode. This is the first solo show that I've done in a really, really long time. This felt like the thing to do. So let me go start things off by thanking my patrons. You can join Patreon for as little as $2 a month. Get all types of hard rock and metal videos, all types of, from different subgenres. There's a few things that we skip just because people don't like them. Pirate metal, for example. Anyway, we've got fans of pretty much every other genre, subgenre in there. We've got people that love death metal, people that love AOR, people that love straight up Nuwabum heavy metal. So join us if you'd like. It is $2 a month. You get my Victor M. Ruiz podcast. And this episode is going to be a lot like what I do there without the basketball talk. There is, as a basketball coach, there's plenty of basketball talk in there. And so this is kind of like a sampling. So if today's episode interests you, then join us on over there. So yeah, so let me run down the patrons. Let's go oldest to newest. We have Steven Saylor, Steve Hoker, Jeremy Weltman, who's on the last episode, Mike Jones, Mr. Yarg Metal himself, Brad Dahl, Gabriel Ruiz, from the Song Swap Showdown, Chris Vaglio, Metal Dan, Johan Edestrom, we have Ed the Shred Ferguson, we have Anthony Mackey, who has helped design this great logo here. Not that one. It's Derek Riggs. But that's Anthony Mackey. All right. Tony Espin. Despo Geek Podcast was essentially Chris Sinzak. And lastly, Sean Richmond. There are a few free subscribers. You are welcome to follow for free. You're welcome to try for, I believe it's 7 days for free before joining the full stream, where you do get the podcast, the videos, questions, so on and so forth. I want to also remind you that you can help the show in various ways. If you don't like Patreon, you can do a PayPal donation. Got the QR code there. You can do a buy me a pizza, which is similar to buy me a coffee. Yes, I am an Amazon affiliate, and depending on what you purchase, I can get a kickback. So we have Amazon US, Amazon UK, Amazon Canada. In any event, if you do go to the Signals from Mars home stream home page, blah, this is a QR code to take you there, but it is signalsfrommars.com. That is your one-stop shopping place where you can listen to old episodes, watch the video replays as well. I'm recording this. It's going to go out tonight. Isn't exactly live, but there's a few shows like this that I will be recording for over the course of the summer. What else? Yeah, if you go to signalsfrommars.com, you'll find merch, you'll find the links to social media and all that great other stuff. All right. So we do have, like I said, merch, a few things here. If you run into any issues, please let me know. There have been some people in the last few months that have reported some hiccups. So Cool. So let's get on with it here. There's a few different things to talk about. First, I debuted as an ultimate sinner on SiriusXM. This has been something that Mark Striegel, as I'm looking at my notes here, which I probably should have been better prepared for. Mark Striegel did say I should do it last summer between me working things, different things out, and finally getting them to get on board with doing it. It finally debuted this week. Let's see, this debuted one day ago. So it actually debuted on Wednesday. It replays on Monday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, Tuesday, 5 a.m. Eastern, and 2 a.m. Pacific. So what did I feature for my Ultimate Sinner segment? All right. So I had to kind of grease the wheels, per se, lube things on in, doing that. That is what I did, if you're watching. Anyway, because, you know, if it's up to me, it's all deep cuts. You guys know this if you follow the show. So I went with some, for my first time appearing, I went with some Metallica. Went with some, Metallica's fairly known, but it's still a kick-ass song. Went with some Dio-era Black Sabbath, as you might imagine. Some Kiss. Hint in the background. Not saying what is over my shoulder here. Ah, I can't point. Ah, something off of that. Bush era Anthrax. And wrap things up with some Queensryche. So I think it's a cool set of songs. Mark Striegel, who again, listen, Mark gave me the kick in the ass to get me to start podcasting. He's the one that pushed me towards this. And he messaged me the other day saying, wow, this, you know, you sound great. And I thanked him for helping me get on there. So cool. If you guys check it out, let me know. Let me know what you guys think of the song selection as well. But a bunch of favorites of mine. Next time, I'll probably go a little bit more obscure, but have to fit in some things that are pretty well known. I mean, not that everything on here is obscure. I don't want to give the songs away. But yeah. What else do we have going on here? Metallica. Metallica gets criticized on social media. This was so funny. I saw this on Facebook. I don't remember where. And if I was to mention this, where it was, I'm probably giving them too much credit. But this is the power of the internet, power of social media, and it gives me the power to do this as well. And I've always said this, you know, for better or worse, I'm on here. For better or worse, there's others on here. And that leads to oversaturation of a lot of things, and it leads to a lot of people probably having a voice when, I mean, I'm all for free speech and whatnot, but some things are just idiotic that are saying. Just because, as Lemmy said with his song, just because you got the power, that don't mean you got the right. All right. So Metallica getting criticized for messing up the beginning of a song. And the comment by the poster was, hoo-hoo, this is what happens when you switch up your set list every night. If you'd switch to the same set list. Really? So, let me get this straight. They're out there on their 72 seasons tour, which will go on for, they've already announced dates in 2026. They're the biggest metal band of all time, regardless whether you want to talk about Black Sabbath being the start Judas Priest taking what they did and kicking it up a notch, Maiden doing something else, Metallica revolutionized things. And I'm seeing people say also, well, because of Dave Mustaine's comments this week, that he wrote all the stuff that kind of got them, you know, where they are. And seeing people say, well, Master of Puppets is where, you know, they really took off. It wasn't Kill 'Em All and it wasn't Ride the Lightning. This is all subjective. If that's what you feel, then that's awesome. You're entitled to your opinion. But Dave Mustaine deserves credit for those first stuff off those first two albums. But Dave, come on, it's old already. It's 40 something years at this point. You have a spectacular band. You have an awesome career. I get it. It's the one that got away. And as big as Megadeth is, they're not Metallica. Anyway, so. All right, so back to this argument of them changing things up every night. They're one of the only bands that do it. Dream Theater does this again now that Mike Portnoy's back. There aren't too many other bands that I know of off the top of my head, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure I'm wrong. I'm sure there's a lot more out there. But I always look back at their XXX shows for their 30th anniversary. They did four shows and played 80 some odd songs in 4 days. They're doing these 72 seasons tour, these shows that are two shows in a city, and they don't repeat any song between the two nights. First of all, just being able to split things up and let's be honest. They're going to be playing stuff off of big albums. So the Black Album, which is their biggest, just went 20 times platinum, if I'm not mistaken. They got to split stuff from that album up, the quote-unquote hits. They need to split big songs off of all the other albums up as well. And they're doing, what, 20 songs a night? Somewhere in that vicinity. Let's check this out. This is exciting. Scrolling on the internet to find information out. All right, where are we going here? Metallica. All right, so what did they do last? They played. Okay, so they're not doing two consecutive shows because I'm seeing, well, most shows are two consecutive, but there some aren't. Like they played Nashville, then they played Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, Virginia, for Virginia, if I'm not mistaken, University of Virginia. Hope I'm not screwing that up. They played Sonic Temple, or they did 2 days there. And well, let's not do a festival. Let's do Lincoln Financial Field, which they just did in Philadelphia. All right, let's see what they played at both of those shows. Okay, so night one, they're playing Creeping Death, Harvester of Sorrow, Holier Than Thou, King Nothing, 72 Seasons, If Darkness Had a Friend, Kurt and Rob's Doodle, where they did To Live Is to Die, it says, The Day That Never Comes, Cyanide, Orion, Nothing Else Matters, Sad But True, Fight Fire with Fire, Fuel, Seek and Destroy, and Master of Puppets. All right, so they're doing 16 songs. It's saying that the entire night lasts 5 hours, 12 minutes after Doors. Let's see. So they started at 8:45. Yeah, so this is kind of skewed. Anyway, I'm assuming that Metallica plays close to 2 hours. All right, so night number two. Lincoln Financial Field. Whiplash, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Ride the Lightning, Memory Remains, Lux Eterna, Screaming Suicide, Kurt and Rob Doodle, which is Philadelphia Freedom, Disposable Heroes, and Gonna Fly Now. Then they do Fade to Black, Wherever I May Roam, The Call of Cthulhu, The Unforgiven, Whiskey in a Jar, Blackened, Moth into Flame, One, and Enter Sandman. Again, 16 songs. So you're telling me that you prefer to see them, for example, Brad Dahl, who went to see Saxon a bunch of times recently, and he loves Saxon. Brad really loves Saxon, and his son, Nate, is also becoming a huger Saxon fan. You prefer like a show like Saxon where they're just doing one set list every night, as opposed to doing the same, as opposed to switching things up. I'd prefer, if I'm going two different nights, I'd prefer to see them switching things up. And I get it, these bands, no, there's laser cues and there's light cues and there's this and there's that. And every time that people talk about Metallica being money-grubbing bureaucrats or aristocrats or whatever you want to call them, they do so much shit for their fans that other bands just won't. As a Kiss fan, would I have loved Kiss to play various different songs night after night? Look at what Metallica did here. Okay, you're telling me that people that were fans just of the Black Album are not going to be thrilled that they got Enter Sandman and Nothing Else Matters on one night, Sad But True, and Wherever I May Roam and Holier Than Thou on another night. I mean, come on. It's dumb. It's the laziness of fans and wanting to homogenize everything. It's why recordings are very homogenized now. It's why, ooh, bands can't play, can't wear their own merch. That's lame, man. Yeah. Who set that rule up? You can't wear the shirt of that band you're going to see tonight. You can't. No, that's so lame, man. Who set the rules? That's the thing about hard rock and metal. It was set up as rebellion. Rock and roll was rebellion. Why do we have so many rules now built around something that started out as a rebellion? It's almost geared towards being like a religion. Rock and roll, a lot of people say rock and roll is my religion, but we don't have rules to say, well, if you wear this shirt, if you do this, if you do that, you're a poser, man. That's rules that came along the way when people tried to be heavier, more metal, more this, more that. It's just an asinine argument to me. All right. So continuing on this whole set list feel, Iron Maiden, their first shows on the Run for Your Lives tour. They just played in Budapest, Hungary. Exciting. I got to close everything off here so that there is no noises going on in the background, although you may hear some things. But when the doors are closed, my throat gets dry and when I get animated even more. So sorry, drinking some water here, folks. A lot of times I worry about the sound. I worry about how things are perceived, this and that. And then you listen to big shows. It's like, they don't even have their episodes mixed. I'm worrying about things that, oh, you should do this, you should do that, blah, 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 blah. This is the whole list of things. And then it turns out that all these big shows say, let's go as is. Anyway, Iron Maiden, Run for Your Lives tour. I was getting psyched because I was thinking, you know, Bruce is saying that, you know, Simon, the new drummer, sounds like, sounds more like Clive Burr than he does Simon Dawson, than he does Nico. So he's going to give a different feel to some of those Clive era songs and whatnot. And so Iron Maiden starts posting on social media the songs, the set list. And it's funny because they started posting, then they stopped. The social media person forgot, got tangled up. Information wasn't getting to them. I mean, I don't know. Just seemed kind of odd. But first song, Ides of March. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They're playing Ides of March off of Killers. And I'm thinking, wait a second. They normally never play this live. In the sense that it's almost always a recording. And it was. So are we going to include Dr. Doctor, the UFO song, as, oh, Iron Maiden's playing Dr. Doctor. Anyway, okay. So, Murders in the Rue Morgue. All right. That's the first song that they're actually playing. Murders in the Rue Morgue. Cool. Love Killers. Killers, Seven Son, and Power Slave are like my three go-to Maiden albums. All right. So, Murders in the Rue Morgue. Awesome. Wrathchild. Wow. First time since 2017 that they played this. Murders in the Rue Morgue. First time since 2005. Killers. First time since 1999. Love that song. Love side B of Killers. To me, that's a perfect album side. And then they go to Phantom of the Opera. So first time played since 2014. And laying in heavy with the Paul Di'Anno stuff early on. So I'm thinking, all right, cool. Awesome. But as you guys are seeing, all right, so first time performed live since 2005, 2017, 99, and 14. So they've done all these songs when Bruce and when Adrian has come back. So I'm getting nitpicky here. I understand that. And the set list is good. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm just saying that they promised songs that they hadn't played before, songs they hadn't played in a long time. Okay, yes, they haven't played Killers, for example, since 1999. Okay, it's been 26 years. Got it. But I'm thinking along the lines of, where's Drifter? Where's Prowler? Where's, you know, okay, so they dip back into Paul Di'Anno a little bit later on. All right. From there, we get to Number of the Beast. Okay. The Clairvoyant, which they haven't played since 2013. Cool. All right. Power Slave, first time since 2017. Okay. 2 Minutes to Midnight, first time since 2019. And Rime of the Ancient Mariner. People are making a big deal. Oh my God, Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Rime of the Ancient Mariner. It's 13 minutes long. Blah, blah, blah. It's first time since 2009. Haven't they been playing songs off of Senjutsu and Book of Souls that are roughly that length of time live as well? So as much as I love that song, is it that big of a deal? Run to the Hills, and I'm starting to think, for all the times Bruce has talked about, we don't do greatest hits tours. In Europe, they get it. We don't have to do greatest hits. We don't, you know. These are all hits. Even going back to Murders in the Rue Morgue, single. Wrathchild, single. Killers, okay, so that's not a single, but it's been played a lot. Phantom of the Opera, single. Number of the Beast, single. Clairvoyant, single. Power Slave, wasn't a single, but was played a lot. 2 Minutes to Midnight, single. Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Run to the Hills, single. Seven Son of a Seven Song, one of my absolutely favorite songs and albums by Iron Maiden. First time since 2014. But we get to The Trooper, Hallowed Be Thy Name, and Iron Maiden. folks, a lot of these songs have been played to death live by the band. All right. So whether you like Metallica or not, again, songs that they're playing: Whiplash, For Whom the Bell Tolls, Ride the Lightning, Memory Remains, Lux Eterna, Screaming Suicide, Fade to Black, Wherever I May Roam, The Call of Cthulhu, The Unforgiven, Whiskey in a Jar, Blackened, Moth into Flame, One, and Enter Sandman. They're playing 4 off of Ride the Lightning, 3 off of the Metallica album, 2 off Injustice for All, 2 off of 72 Seasons, 1 off of Hardwired, 1 off of Kill 'Em All, 1 off of Reload, and 1 off the Covers album. Oh, wait. Okay. So we're seeing here that, getting back to the time of each band, Suicidal is playing about an hour. No, they're playing about 40 minutes. Pantera is playing about an hour. And then Metallica is playing what? 2. I guess from what it says. Anyway, so this is what I'm getting at, is that for as much as people criticize Metallica, the set list is completely different. All right, they're for as much as I love Maiden, and I like Maiden a lot more than I do Metallica, when it comes to the live show, there are very few bands that come close to doing the same as what Metallica does for their fan base. All right, so Maiden end up Encore, Churchill Speech, Aces High, Fear of the Dark, first time as an encore. And? And then last song of the night, Wasted Years. Look, cool set list. I was expecting more personally because of how it was hyped up. You're going to hear songs we haven't played in a long time. You're going to hear songs that we've never played. They've played all of these live at one point or another since Bruce and Adrian have come back in the band. As cool as the show was, yes, they have the giant screens. Much as people want to criticize Kiss, Kiss has been that for years, folks. It's not new to me. It's new to Maiden. Kiss has been doing that, right? How does the set list break down? It's 4 songs off of Power Slave, 3 off of Killers, 3 off of Number of the Beast, 2 off of Iron Maiden, 2 off of Seven Son of a Seven Son, 1 off of Fear of the Dark, 1 off of Peace of Mind, and 1 off of Somewhere in Time. Next, dumb argument. Simon's drum set is too small. We need something like Nico's. Seriously? As a drummer, as someone that grew up idolizing Clive Burr and his feel with his playing, it's funny, a lot of people say, well, he plays songs differently. He doesn't have the same shuffle that Nico had. Nico really didn't have a shuffle, folks. Clive had a shuffle. He had like a jazz thing going on. He was more of a shuffle player. Nico really didn't. And Simon's drums are more like Clive's were, the 3 toms on the top. Hello? That's very, very Clive Burrish. The other thing, too, is not everyone is going to play the same. And yeah, Bruce kind of set things out there by saying, oh, well, you know, he sounds a lot like Clive with the way that he plays. So why didn't you guys do The Prisoner, for example, where there's that great intro, drum intro with the drum breakdowns throughout the song, throughout the beginning of the song, excuse me. That to me is like a go-to for a drummer. The other thing too, for example, on setlist.com, they're saying that the Run For Your Lives tour is a mix of hits and rarities. Again, I don't see any of those as really being a rarity. They're again, they aren't pulling out I've Got the Fire. They aren't playing Drifter. They aren't playing Innocent Exile. They aren't playing Charlotte the Harlot. They aren't, you know, there's, and Maiden's catalog is enormous, folks. I know that regardless what they were going to play, someone was going to bitch and complain. But don't set yourself up for this stuff. Don't sell it as is. Oh, setlist is so revolutionary. It's so revolutionary. It's going to be huge. It's going to be something that you guys haven't seen in a long time. I just think they fell short with what they were advertising. Good set list. If it was coming remotely close to me and I wasn't tied up with something else, maybe. They're playing in Madrid on the 7th of July. And it's just, I have prior commitments. If not, maybe, who knows? This week, speaking of tours, we have things being announced for next year already. I mentioned Metallica has mentioned an upcoming tour. And we now have announced Cruise to the Edge 2026. This will be the 10th anniversary of the Cruise to the Edge. Voyage of Mechanical Resonance. Interesting. Is Tesla involved anywhere? But this will be taking place between March 4th and 9th, 2026, Miami, Key West, and Nassau, the Bahamas. So the headliner is Marillion. Some of my listeners will be thrilled for that. But also on the bill will be Steve Hackett, Big Big Train, Eddie Jobson, Symphony X, Adrian Blue, Haken, Life Signs, The Flower Kings, Queensryche, Stickmen, Protocol, Wishbone Ash, Airbag, Pete Roth Trio featuring Bill Buford, Goblin, Crack the Sky, Randy McStein, Crownland, Clone, Earthside, Rendezvous Point, Baraka, Alex Henry Foster, Larry Lowry, I guess. Probably pronounced that wrong. Lowry, Basilio, Dueling Pianos, Marvin. If you're into that, if you're into those sorts of band, mostly on the prog-ish side, definitely something to check out. That'll be happening next March. So, 10 months from now, basically. There are other shows that are, you know, that are being announced. And a lot of these bigger festivals and concerts, what they do is start selling tickets at the end of the previous year's event, because you've already got a brand that's built and you know what kind of quality you're going to have. Let's be honest. There isn't, Bloodstock doesn't have Metallica and Slayer 1 year and have Poison and Cinderella the next. Not knocking any of those bands, but I'm just saying, for most bands, for most fans, I should say, fewer going to both. I would, because I enjoy all four of those bands. I enjoy different points in their career, whether that means you take my metal cred away, metal card away, however you want to say it, but you know, look at what I have behind. Got everything from Testament to Megadeth to Kiss to Van Halen and others. Nine Inch Nails, Soundgarden, Judas Priest, Scorpions, runs a whole gamut of things. Ghost behind me as well, if you can see that. Anyway, so yeah, so you like what you like, and that's it. That's the way I look at it. So a lot of cool shows this summer, and a lot of different things being announced already for next year. Bunch of shows that I have contemplating seeing this summer while in the States. One that I'm not contemplating because I don't see them anywhere close is Sleep Token. This is what's funny to me about Sleep Token and President and stuff like that. You guys see the KISS stuff behind me. For as much crap, specifically from the UK crowd about KISS, about how they've had to lean on the three theatrics and not their music and so on and so forth. It's funny that the UK is overly big on Sleep Token. Bunch of members dressed up like one another, similar to Ghost, similar to what Ghost has been doing successful the last few years. And I like Ghost. I haven't reached the point where Sleep Token's really grabbed me yet. Not saying that it won't, not saying that you don't have, that you aren't entitled to, but I think it's kind of hypocritical where a certain audience is taken aback by someone's look and saying, oh, well, the music needs to be there. And, you know, I don't get the Sleep Token aura as a specific or direct comparison to metal or hard rock. Are there elements in there? Sure. Imperial Triumphants, a band out of New York, I believe. Also a trio, which dresses almost identical. Kind of the same kind of stick. We're seeing a lot of different bands that are now doing the same thing. I mentioned the President before. Still noise rock, sludge metal at times. There's different aspects. Sleep Token mixes in hip-hop beats and stuff like that. And people are saying, well, you don't get it because you're old. No, I just don't see the correlation. I don't see Slipknot busting out EDM beats in the middle of a song. Is Sid Wilson doing stuff in the background with different, adding noises and different things to make songs heavier or creepier? Yeah, but I don't hear like chill ASMR going on. Just soothing music. You know, I think that the farthest I will go, Zeal and Ardor, which will mix different things like gospel with heaviness, that I'll go for. And they do have hip hop beats and stuff, but it's mixed with the heavier things. And that's just my opinion. Doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. It's just how I feel. If you enjoy that stuff, that's awesome. More power to you. And Sleep Token is doing stuff at Download and other things this summer, which props to them. And hopefully they're able to keep things going. And hopefully I'm wrong. And a lot of you guys are into them. And yeah, and if you are, check them out. Buy their album. What else? Want to wrap things up real quickly. Something that really warms my heart. My kids are very musically inclined as well. They listen to a lot of different types of music. Some of it is music that I've turned them on to. Some is stuff that they've discovered along the way. But every night, when the shower's going, you can hear a Bluetooth speaker blaring, and it's got different types of music playing all the time. Can be hip hop, can be Weird Al. Can be, for example, this week, I got to hear stuff like Rush's Limelight. Got to hear Heaven Tonight by Yngwie Malmsteen. Or got to hear I Love It Loud by KISS. They list, again, a lot of different things, but these are things that are directly come from me. I often think about how my parents would play their music all the time and say, well, why don't you like our stuff? Because it's crap. whereas I'm glad that my kids, same thing, they don't feel the same about my music. So it's awesome to hear that stuff, to hear people say, well, you raised them right. I don't know about that. I'd prefer them to choose what they want to hear. And if it coincides with some of the stuff that I like hearing, well, that's awesome. I greatly appreciate that they like some of the stuff that I do. And that way, something to bond over. And it's a way to see shows together, and it's a way to spend time. We're going on long trips and whatnot, and you don't see the headphones on. They're checking out what you're listening to. Happens with podcasts as well, where there are certain podcasts that I'll throw on and they'll really enjoy. And then I'll get, oh, so-and-so has a new episode out. Yeah. So, and then they'll check it out. So there are certain facets like that where things cross over, which I'm thrilled. So when I hear the opposite, you know, how do you do it? You know, my kids don't like, because sorry to hear. Sorry to hear. Oh. Anyway, folks, hope you enjoyed this episode. My first solo. Yes, it is solo. It is Sean Connery. Yes. My first solo show in some time. And hope you guys enjoyed it. I mentioned Patreon at the top of the show. If you're so inclined, again, patreon.com/signalsfrommars. If not, go to signalsfrommars.com for all of the one-stop shopping place to check out merch, check out where you can subscribe to the show, follow it, places where you can help us, help me monetarily with doing different aspects of the show, like these great live streams. And that's about it. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you supporting here. And support doesn't always have to be monetary thing. It can be re-sharing the episodes on any of the social media platforms, can be liking them, can be turning your friends onto the show, saying, you know, look at what this numbskull is saying about this band. You love this band. You feel the same way? You know, we're just trying to keep the discussion going here. Try to keep the music that we love alive between us. And once again, hope you enjoyed the show. I know there's a million other things you can be watching to or listening to. You could be watching or listening to, and you choose to spend time with me. And to me, that means the world. So thank you. In any event, once again, this is the end of the show. We will see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.